Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're taking a deep dive into a topic that's often shrouded in mystery and misinformation, menopause.
It's definitely a subject that deserves more attention, especially considering the sheer number of women going through it.
Exactly. We're talking about a global phenomenon here. Our main source for this deep dive is a fantastic article from the Cleveland Clinic titled "The 2022 Menopause Tsunami: Facts Every Woman Should Know."
It's a really comprehensive piece highlighting some pretty startling stats and insights.
It definitely is. And that's what we're here for today, to break down those facts and give you a clear understanding of what menopause really is and why it matters to everyone, not just women.
It's not just a personal issue, it's a societal one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right in. The article talks about this concept of a menopause tsunami. Kind of a dramatic term, but it paints a vivid picture.
It does, and it's not an exaggeration. By 2025, over 1 billion women worldwide will be menopausal.
Wow, that's a huge EE number.
It is. And think about this. The average woman will spend about 40% of her life post-menopause.
That's a significant chunk of time. So we're talking about a massive population of women entering this life stage, but are we prepared for it?
That's the big question. The article highlights a real mismatch between the growing number of menopausal women and the availability of specialist doctors. In the U.S., for example, there are only about 1,300 NAS-certified practitioners.
NAS being the North American Menopause Society, right?
That's right. They're the leading experts in menopause care.
So we have this huge wave of women entering menopause, but a limited number of specialists equipped to help them navigate it.
It's a recipe for a knowledge gap, which is exactly what we're seeing.
And the article backs this up with some pretty shocking statistics. Did you know that 80% of graduating internal medicine residents in the U.S. feel unprepared to discuss menopause with their patients?
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
And it's not just doctors. Even women themselves often lack basic knowledge about menopause.
The article says that only 54% of women can correctly define menopause. That's alarming.
It is. And it underscores the need for better education and awareness. Menopause isn't some taboo topic. It's a natural biological process.
It's something we need to talk about openly and honestly.
Exactly. And part of that conversation needs to address the misconception that menopause is just about hot flashes.
Yeah, the hot flashes get all the attention, but it's so much more than that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Menopause is a complex physiological shift that affects the entire body.
So it's not just a few hot flashes here and there. We're talking about a major hormonal change.
Think of it like a vital sign, signaling a significant shift in how your body functions.
Okay, I like that analogy.
The key player here is estradiol, a powerful hormone that also has anti-inflammatory properties. During menopause, estradiol levels plummet.
And that decline has a ripple effect throughout the body.
Exactly. It impacts everything from our cardiovascular system to our bones, brain, and even our skin.
So it's not just about those hot flashes, though. Those can be pretty intense, too.
They can be. And for some women, they're not just a minor annoyance.
The article mentions that the average duration of what are called vasomotor symptoms, those include hot flashes and night sweats, is 7 to 10 years.
And for about 10% of women, those symptoms can last a lifetime.
Wow, a lifetime.
It's a reality for some. And it's not just the physical discomfort. These symptoms can disrupt sleep, affect mood, decrease productivity at work, and even create a financial burden. The article cites studies that show women spend anywhere from $248 to $770 per year managing these symptoms.
So we're talking about a significant impact on quality of life.
Exactly. And it highlights the need for effective treatment options. Hormone therapy, or HT, is often the first line of defense for women struggling with severe symptoms.
Right, but there's been a lot of back and forth about the risks and benefits of hormone therapy over the years.
There has. But the current understanding, supported by the 2022 NAMS Hormone Therapy Position Statement, emphasizes the importance of timing. Yeah, the timing hypothesis suggests that women who start HT within 10 years of menopause onset or before age 60 are more likely to experience the benefits than the risks.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Yeah.
It depends on individual factors and when therapy is started.
Exactly. And it's important to note that there are different types of hormone therapy and different ways to administer it.
So it's crucial to have an open and honest conversation with your doctor to determine if hormone therapy is right for you, and if so, which type and route of administration are best.
Couldn't agree more. It's about personalized care tailored to the individual.
Speaking of personalized care, the article mentions a new non-hormonal treatment option that's creating a lot of buzz for fizolinetant.
Oh, yes. It's a game changer for women who can't or choose not to use hormone therapy.
It's a bit of a mouthful to say, but can you break down how it works?
Sure. Fezolinetant is what's called an NK3 receptor antagonist. It works by blocking a specific pathway in the brain that triggers hot flashes.
Okay, so it's basically interrupting the signal that tells your body to have a hot flash.
That's a great way to put it. And the best part is it's highly effective with a very low side effect profile. It's expected to be available soon, which is really exciting news.
That is fantastic news. It offers real hope for women who are looking for relief from those vasomotor symptoms without the use of hormones.
It's a real breakthrough in menopause care.
Now let's move on to another common but often overlooked aspect of menopause, sleep disruption.
Yes, sleep, or the lack thereof.
The article points out that at least half of all perimenopausal and menopausal women experience sleep issues. And we're not just talking about hot flashes waking them up in the middle of the night.
Right. While those certainly contribute, other factors like medications, medical conditions, and even psychological changes can disrupt sleep during menopause.
There's a multifaceted issue. Yeah. And poor sleep can have a domino effect on everything else, right?
Absolutely. It affects mood, energy levels, cognitive function, and overall well-being. It's important to address sleep problems head-on.
So what can women do to improve their sleep during menopause?
Well, first, it's crucial to identify any underlying medical conditions or medications that might be contributing to sleep problems. Cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, or CBTI, has been shown to be very effective for improving sleep quality. And of course, if hot flashes are the culprit, hormone therapy can be a lifesaver. There's also a low-dose antidepressant called Doxepin that can be helpful for sleep.
Lots of options to explore there.
And the American Academy of Sleep Medicine has a really helpful sleep diary that women can use to track their sleep patterns and identify potential triggers.
That sounds like a great tool. Now let's shift gears and talk about the mental health aspects of menopause. This is something that's often brushed aside, but it's so crucial.
It really is. The hormonal fluctuations of menopause, particularly the decline in estradiol, can have a profound impact on mood and emotional well-being.
The article mentions that women are more vulnerable to major depression during this life stage.
That's right. And it's not just about feeling a little down. We're talking about clinical depression that requires professional help.
So it's not just the blues. It's a serious mental health concern.
Exactly. And it's essential that women recognize the signs and symptoms of depression and seek help if they're struggling.
The good news is there are effective treatments available.
Absolutely. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a great option, as are antidepressants. And in some cases, hormone therapy can be helpful for mood as well.
So it's important to remember that you don't have to suffer in silence. There's help available. Now, let's move on to another significant health concern that often arises during menopause. Osteoporosis.
The silent thief, as it's sometimes called.
And it's a serious concern. Estrogen plays a crucial role in maintaining bone density. As estrogen levels decline, women become more susceptible to bone loss, increasing their risk of fractures.
The article shares a sobering statistic. Half of all women will experience an osteoporosis-related fracture in their lifetime. And those fractures can be debilitating, impacting mobility and independence.
So it's not just about a few aches and pains. It's about potentially life-altering injuries. What can women do to protect their bones during menopause and beyond?
Prevention and early detection are key. Regular exercise, especially weight-bearing activities like walking or jogging, is crucial for building and maintaining bone strength.
And a diet rich in calcium and vitamin D is important, right?
Absolutely. And for women at higher risk of osteoporosis, there are medications available to help slow bone loss and reduce the risk of fractures.
So it's about being proactive, talking to your doctor about your risk factors, and taking steps to protect your bone health. What kind of screening tools are available to assess bone density?
The FRAX score calculation is a great tool for estimating fracture risk based on individual factors like age, family history, and lifestyle. And for women who are at high risk or already experiencing bone loss, a DEXA scan, which measures bone mineral density, is recommended.
So it's about knowing your risks and getting the appropriate screenings. The article actually recommends a great resource for listeners who want to delve deeper into this topic. The Clinician's Guide to Prevention and Treatment of Osteoporosis.
It's a comprehensive guide for both patients and healthcare providers.
Excellent. Now let's wrap up this part of our deep dive by addressing another major health concern that becomes more prominent during menopause, cardiovascular disease.
Heart health is crucial for everyone, but it becomes particularly important for women during and after menopause.
The article cites a rather alarming statistic. There's been a 27% increase in myocardial infarction, or heart attacks, in women under 55 in the past two decades.
It's a trend that's raising serious concerns. And again, the decline in estrogen plays a major role.
How so?
Well, estrogen has cardioprotective effects. It helps keep blood vessels flexible and helps regulate cholesterol levels. When estrogen levels drop, women lose that protective benefit, increasing their risk of heart disease.
So it's not just about hot flashes and mood swings. It's about our hearts, literally.
Exactly. And it underscores the importance of understanding your personal risk factors. Family history of heart disease is a major one, but even things like a history of preeclampsia or gestational diabetes during pregnancy can increase your risk later in life.
So it's not just about your current health, it's about your health history as well.
Exactly. And if your risk is unclear, there's a test called a coronary calcium score, or a CAC, that can help assess your risk of developing heart disease.
So talk to your doctor about whether this test might be appropriate for you. It's about being proactive and taking charge of your heart health.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power. The more we understand about these health risks, the better equipped we are to make informed decisions about our health and well-being.
And speaking of knowledge, let's talk about some fantastic resources for listeners who want to learn more about menopause. Okay, we just explored some of the really significant health challenges that can come with menopause, like osteoporosis and heart disease. But it's not all doom and gloom. Menopause also brings up some other topics that can be a bit more, shall we say, delicate. It's time to address the elephant in the room, sexual health during menopause.
It's interesting how this topic often gets sidelined, even though it's a natural part of life. It's as if we're expected to just accept a decline in our sexual well-being.
It's almost like we're supposed to pretend that women's sexuality just disappears after a certain age.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality, is it?
Absolutely not. But declining estrogen does bring about some changes. For example, vaginal dryness is a common concern.
Yeah, that's not exactly a topic that comes up at brunch. But seriously, you can make intimacy uncomfortable, even painful, and that's definitely not something women should just have to grin and bear.
Exactly. And it's not just dryness. Estrogen also helps keep vaginal tissue healthy and elastic. As estrogen drops, those tissues can thin and become less flexible, contributing to discomfort.
So it's not just in our heads. There's a real physiological reason for these changes. But the silver lining here is that there are solutions.
Definitely. Simple things like lubricants can help with dryness. Vaginal moisturizers are great for restoring and maintaining moisture over time.
Those sound like good first steps. What about for more persistent issues?
For those, hormone therapy can be really effective. Topical estrogen, available as creams, rings, or tablets, can help rejuvenate vaginal tissues and improve overall sexual function.
That's good to know. Seems like there are options out there, which is reassuring. It's a good reminder that open communication with your healthcare provider is key, no matter what you're experiencing. Now let's shift gears and talk about another aspect of menopause that I think a lot of us can relate to: brain fog.
Ah, yes, the infamous brain fog. Misplaced keys, forgotten appointments, struggling to find the right word. It can be frustrating, to say the least.
I've definitely had moments where I felt like my brain was on vacation. Is there a scientific explanation for this, or are we all just losing it?
There's still much research to be done, but studies do suggest that fluctuating hormone levels, especially estrogen, can impact cognitive function during menopause. Estrogen plays a role in various brain functions, including memory, attention, and executive function. So as levels decline, it's not surprising that some women notice cognitive changes.
So those brain blips are not just in our heads.
They appear to have a biological basis. But here's the empowering part. Our brains are remarkably adaptable. We have the power to support our cognitive health during menopause and beyond.
Okay, that's music to my ears. Tell me more. What can we do to keep our brains sharp?
Lifestyle factors play a significant role. Regular exercise, a healthy diet, prioritizing sleep, and engaging in mentally stimulating activities can all help protect brain health.
Those are all things within our control, which is encouraging. What about medical interventions? Anything promising on that front?
There's growing interest in the potential benefits of hormone therapy for cognitive function. Some studies suggest that early initiation of HT may offer some protection against cognitive decline. It's an area of ongoing research, but it's definitely promising.
So it's not just about accepting a decline in cognitive function. There are proactive steps we can take, both through lifestyle and potential medical interventions. That's good news. Speaking of things we don't always talk about, menopause can also impact urinary health.
It's true. It's not a glamorous topic, but it affects many women. Declining estrogen can lead to changes in the urinary tract, making us more susceptible to things like urinary tract infections or UTIs and urinary incontinence.
UTIs are definitely no fun. The pain, the burning, the constant trips to the bathroom. And urinary incontinence can be embarrassing and really impact quality of life. It's important to normalize these conversations and let women know they're not alone in experiencing these issues.
Absolutely. And the key message here is that these issues are treatable. If you're experiencing any urinary symptoms, talk to your doctor. There are effective treatments from antibiotics for UTIs to pelvic floor exercises and medications for incontinence.
So it's about seeking help and knowing that there are solutions out there. No one should suffer in silence. It's important to remember that menopause is not a one-size-fits-all experience. Each woman's journey is unique.
That's a crucial point. Menopause is influenced by a complex interplay of factors, including genetics, lifestyle, cultural beliefs, and even access to healthcare.
It's a reminder that there's no single right way to manage menopause. What works for one woman may not work for another. Our sources talk about the increasing importance of personalized medicine in menopause care.
Yes, the era of one-size-fits-all is fading, and that's a good thing. With advances in genetic testing and a deeper understanding of how individual factors influence menopause, we're moving towards a more personalized approach to treatment.
So it's moving away from a cookie-cutter approach and recognizing that each woman's hormonal profile, health history, and lifestyle are unique. Treatment plans should reflect those individual needs.
Exactly. It might involve a combination of lifestyle modifications, hormone therapy tailored to the individual's hormonal profile, and specific interventions to address symptoms or health concerns.
It's really about empowering women to make informed choices about their health and well-being during this transition. Our sources also highlight the importance of a holistic approach to menopause care.
I love that. It's not just about treating symptoms in isolation. It's about looking at the whole person, mind, body, and spirit.
Right. It's about addressing not only the physical changes, but also the emotional, psychological, and social aspects of menopause. It's about recognizing that this is a significant life transition that goes beyond just the physical.
Absolutely. Our sources emphasize the value of integrating complementary therapies like yoga, meditation, acupuncture, and massage into menopause care.
Those sound like great ways to manage stress, improve sleep, and just feel better overall. What I like about these is that they give women tools to manage their symptoms and feel more in control of their bodies and minds. It's about taking a multifaceted approach to menopause care, recognizing that this transition is not just about physical changes, but about embracing a new chapter in life with vitality and well-being.
Well said. As we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I think it's important to reiterate that menopause is not a disease. It's a natural biological transition that all women will experience. And while it can bring challenges, it can also be a time of growth, transformation, and new beginnings.
Yes. It's about reframing the narrative around menopause. Instead of viewing it as a decline or an ending, we can embrace it as a natural part of the female life cycle. And in our final part, we'll explore that reframing even further, looking at the social and cultural perspectives on menopause and how we can create a more supportive and empowering environment for women going through this transition. And we're back for our final look at menopause. We've covered a lot of ground, from the biology and symptoms to the health challenges and treatment options. But now I think it's time to zoom out a bit and explore menopause from a broader perspective, one that takes into account the social and cultural influences that shape our experiences.
I think that's a really important perspective to consider. Menopause is not just a biological event, it's also a social and cultural one.
Exactly. And I find it fascinating how menopause is viewed and treated so differently across cultures.
It really highlights how much culture shapes our perceptions, even when it comes to something as biological as menopause.
For sure. Some cultures revere menopause as a transition to wisdom and elder status. You know, like the wise women, the healers, the keepers of traditions in many indigenous cultures.
Right. In those cultures, menopause isn't a sign of decline. It's seen as a source of power and respect.
It makes you wonder then why menopause has gotten such a bad rap in Western cultures.
Yeah, it's a good question. Unfortunately, the dominant narrative in the West often focuses on loss. Loss of fertility, loss of youth, loss of desirability. It's almost as if society is trying to push women aside as they age.
It's like this unspoken message that once you're no longer in your childbearing years, you're somehow less valuable. which can't be good for women's self-esteem or mental health.
It's a harmful message for sure. But the good news is that there's a growing movement to reclaim menopause and redefine what it means for women.
Yes. We're seeing more and more women speaking out, sharing their stories, and challenging those tired stereotypes.
It's about celebrating menopause as a time of liberation, self-discovery, and a chance to embrace new possibilities.
Love that. It's about reframing the narrative and recognizing that menopause can be a time of empowerment. And it all starts with open conversations.
Absolutely. By talking openly and honestly, challenging outdated beliefs, and highlighting the strength and resilience of women going through this transition, we can create a more positive and supportive environment.
It's about shifting the cultural conversation and making sure women feel supported, informed, and empowered to make choices that are right for them.
And it's important to remember that menopause isn't just a women's issue. It impacts families, workplaces, communities. It affects us all.
So true. When we create a more supportive environment for women experiencing menopause, everyone benefits. Imagine workplaces that understand the challenges of menopause and offer resources and flexibility to support their employees.
Imagine healthcare systems that prioritize menopause care and provide comprehensive education and treatment options, not just a quick fix.
And imagine families and communities that rally around women going through menopause, offering understanding and encouragement instead of judgment or dismissal.
That's the world we want to see, a world where menopause isn't shrouded in shame or silence, but celebrated as a natural part of life and a time of personal growth and transformation.
Beautifully said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into menopause, what are some key takeaways you hope listeners will remember?
Well, I hope they remember that menopause is a multifaceted experience, a biological transition that's deeply intertwined with social and cultural perceptions. It's a time of change, yes, but it can also be a time of growth, self-discovery, and new beginnings.
It's about taking control of your health, seeking support when you need it, and challenging those outdated stereotypes.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. The more we understand about menopause, the better equipped we are to navigate this stage of life with confidence and well-being.
And to everyone out there who is experiencing menopause or supporting someone who is, remember, you're not alone. Keep learning, keep talking, keep advocating for yourself and for each other.
That brings our deep dive to a close. We hope this journey has sparked your curiosity, challenged your thinking, and left you feeling empowered to embrace this next chapter.
Until next time, keep diving deep.